promise of the lady that honorable Mizu will come, and if I have to take his word, we can continue and with the meeting. But in the past we had that kind of promise and it never materialized. probably maybe today is different, and because I'm trying to understand why the member is not here and what made the member not to be here, whether that problem is going to evaporate within the next hour or so, I'm not sure. But honorable members, we had an agenda, and then hoping that by the time when we have dealt with what we need to be doing, the honorable member would have joined us. Would have joined us. And the other thing as well is that if that doesn't happen, then we may have to reconvene to approve the report sometimes. We have received an apology from Honorable Muller and also Honorable Rafuti, who is outside the country. Then Honorable Gadi, who is on a study list. And then Honorable Nancy, who is just not here. Okay. All right. Then if indeed we're having some medical consultation. So this brings us down to now 18, 7 members. And we needed this 6 to be able to authorize some of the documents that we have in front of us. And currently, we are 5. And then we just need one to join us. We don't know where this honorable Nkomo. And I hope this is supposed to be close by here. Whether she's in the area, we don't know. I think that is the in relation to apologies, honorable members. And then I really wanted us to go to the report, the VRR report of the committee, and possibly get our content advisor, a researcher, whatever name you suit me, and then just simply to take us on the structure of the report and what each and every section of the report talks to. And then from there, then we would start delving into the report. Thank you very much. You may proceed.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, honourable members and Chairperson. As members would have recently learned in their training, if they were privileged enough to attend that training, the BRRR is a report that emerged out of a new act that was passed by Parliament in 2009, the Moneyball's Amendment to Seizures and Related Matters Act, the shortening of which is MBAP, as your document on page 1 indicates. Basically, what this does is it allows Parliament to formally amend the budget of departments looking forward to the following year. And we're required to do that before the medium-term budget policy statement. But the real impact comes in the strategic plans and budgets of the department in the following financial year. The things we're required to consider as part of our report are the medium-term estimates of expenditure of the national departments from the previous year, strategic priorities, objectives, as they were tabled in the National Assembly, the expenditure reports, the so-called Section 32 reports, which come out once a quarter, which indicate how much the department has spent each quarter, the financial statements and annual reports, which we've just dealt with recently, the report on the committees on public accounts, of which there were some small findings this year, not every year. And then any other information that we have privilege to have access to during the course of the year. As mentioned, we need to basically pass this statement this week because the medium-term budget policy statement is coming out next week. So we've prepared a draft report based on the work of the committee thus far. We can present this draft report, but obviously members can stop me at any point if they need to make inputs to the document. I think it might work better if you just note on the document where it is that you feel you want to make input, and then we'll do all the changes towards the end. So I'll present on the whole document, and then we'll go back to sections if there are any issues, and if there aren't issues, we'll leave the sections as they are. If at all possible, we should adopt this report today. This is again why we need the quorum. The mandate of the committee is also part of the template of this document. I'm sure members are aware of, so we won't go into too much detail. But basically, the activities of the committee are the deliberations of the department, the deliberations on legislation, and reports that we've adopted, scrutinizing the performance of on the various documents of the department and their function, external briefing reports, for instance, by the Human Rights Commission or whatever the case may be, then conducting oversight visits, of which we will be doing one most probably at the end of November, and we did a brief one, for instance, to Barrett Street as well for this Parliament. And then also, obviously, the members' public participation when they engage with their members of their constituencies. During the constituency period. So if those local issues come up as of importance, the members can also amend or add to the budget review in that regard. Going on to the department itself, other than the department, obviously, we look at the entities under this portfolio. I just put a minor change there instead of saying the department. The Department of Home Affairs, to be clear, because it's one of the first sections it dealt with. Members will be familiar, because we just dealt with the annual report of the three programs of the department. The administration, which basically does the leadership and management of the department. Citizen services, which is basically the provision of documents, both internal and from passports. And this also includes the budgets of the IEC and DPW, the Electoral Commission and Government Printing Works. Program 3 is immigration, so dealing with foreigners working in the country, travelling in the country, and also asylum seekers. We also should be fairly familiar with the strategic priorities and measurable objectives of the department. I'm not going to go into too much detail, but the three main outcomes relate to those three programs we mentioned earlier. So outcome three, they actually relate to the administration, ensuring that the department's service is efficient and secure and interruption-free. Outcome one relates to citizen services mostly, and ensuring, for instance, that the registration is secure, registration of birth is secure, and ensuring that documents are given to all in the country who need them, who have legal entitlement to them. Then obviously immigration relating to border management, asylum seekers, and those all the outcomes relate to the government programs. Because members have addressed these issues fairly recently, I'm not going to go into too much detail. The department's contribution to the NDP, also something that they presented to us fairly recently. But the major focus of the NDP, as members are aware, is confronting the triple challenge of poverty, inequality, and unemployment. So as a general plan, this needs to be a consideration. The DHA can also play a critical role in enabling regional integration by facilitating movement of legal movement of persons in the Southern African development community, which is also one of the development priorities for the country, amongst other things. Key challenges that the DHA has recently raised with us, members will be aware, is that the systems of the department are outdated, are paper-based systems, and they've been trying for a number of years to integrate that into a new technologically advanced system where it's more secure. They've also had a high vacancy rate, particularly for legal specialists. The third issue there, continued high dependency on the Department of Public Works for building new offices, and also for the government printing works under its portfolio in terms of its new facilities. So again, these issues we've dealt with very recently. The department also raised with us how they were going to be addressing some of these issues in the next 3 to 5 years. We've got section 2.3 there. In the next 3 to 5 years, DHA has these broad priorities. The establishment of a comprehensive and secure national identification system, which includes various different other identification systems as part of it. The modernizing of home affairs through investing in people and training, improving service delivery, promoting good governance, developing officials that are ethical, patriotic, and professional, and a firm action against in the fight against corruption. So in the 5 year period under this bit of review falls under, coming up to this up to 2014, these were some of the priorities and achievements. The department facilitated to a large extent the FIFA World Cup. In 2010, the population registration campaign has been fairly successful. They've registered an additional 1 million citizens through various means. There were changes facilitated through this committee of the civics and immigration legislation to improve services and security. There's been a lot of work towards securing birth certificates, and there's no more phasing out of the late birth registration at birth. It's being finalized in the next couple of years. And there's also been a centralization of adjudication of permits, so head office is dealing with the finalization in order to reduce fraud. This was also obviously in some ways slowed down the services in this regard, but the process of decentralization, once now the security is improved, is going to roll out in the next couple of years. Stakeholder forums have been very useful in terms of engagement with the department on the issues that citizens are facing. They've been very good in that in terms of engagement. A lot of new offices refurbished, integrating with South African Social Security Services, a social Security Agency, SASSA, and the justice system, and also banks. So they're starting to share their systems with other entities in order to improve service delivery and also security. The same is true at the borders. This enhanced movement control system has been rolled out to most of the ports of entry of the 52 land borders. I think there are only six outstanding. Learning Academy, again relating to professionalizing the department, has been implemented, and they've got a chief director dealing with that. The footprint of the department in terms of its offices and mobile offices has also been expanded significantly, and people don't have to travel as far to access the home affairs services. We also just recently dealt with this session 3, the analysis of the annual performance, this is the annual performance plan, not the annual report plan. We dealt with this earlier in the year, prior to this committee, but the report required that we include this. So this is basically an analysis of how the performance plan of the department this year relates to previous years and what the changes have been in terms of the period going forward. The first paragraph there indicating that there was some confusion with the department in terms of what annual performance plans were and what strategic plans were and which documents covered which period. these issues have been raised with the department and by the committee. In terms of the 12 outcomes of government, which still are still relative, basically national development plan is for the next like the long term, 20 up to 2030, with the 12 government outcomes are for the more short term, the next 5 years. So the government priorities that relate to home affairs are outcomes 3, 5, and 12. 3 is that all people in South Africa feel safe. Outcome 5 is that there's a skilled and capable workforce. And outcome 12 is an efficient development-oriented public service. And then there are new priorities that have been added to those 12 outcomes, making them 14, which apply to the department, which are decent employment through inclusive growth, outcome 4, and nation building and social cohesion, outcome 14. The department has expanded in its annual performance plan on how they were going to address all the outcomes, including outcome 4, the new one, but haven't added much detail on how they were going to do the nation building and social cohesion. So again, that was raised with the department, how they were planning to improve that. There wasn't much detail in their plan. So that you'll notice later with part of the recommendations going forward. The Section 32 expenditure reports, you'll remember in September we dealt with the first quarter expenditure, so the finances of the department for the first quarter of this financial year. And there's just a summary of their expenditure, the average being 24%, so on average they're on track, but there's a couple of areas where there's over expenditure. Now, for instance, in citizen affairs, you'll remember, because they had to give additional funds to the IEC to finalize their, they had to accelerate the rate at which they gave the money to IEC to finalize the preparations for their elections. And then we just included some of the progress that the department had made this quarter already, comparing it to the performance in the annual report a little bit later. You'll see there's, They've issued a lot of smart ID cards. The rate at which they deliver the ID books has improved. The vacancy rate has been reduced. There are additional steps being taken to roll out the border management agency, which is going to coordinate services at the border better. And then some challenges raised for the first quarter were progress on the decision for a relocation of refugees to refugee centres to border lines was unclear. There are medium-term goals for that, but the progress made thus far is not clear from the presentation which is from the department yet. That although there was improvement in permanent residence applications, only half of them were done within 8 months. It means about half of them take more than 8 months to finalize. There's also quite a bit of work needing to be done in terms of the permitting system at the borders. There's still a dependency on DPW and CETA for connectivity of new systems, such as the live capture for IDs and passports at new offices. There's also, because they're very large IT projects, there have been continued delays around the integration of the old and new systems, which has gone on for a number of years and still a challenge for the department. There's still still some issues with fighting against corruption, although they do have a corruption master plan in place. So just highlighting some of the issues there. Then moving on to page 6, the analysis of the department's annual report, which we dealt with very recently. This includes the analysis of the entities under the department. Okay, so we dealt with this fairly recently, so I'm not going to go into too much detail. But basically, just summarizing the interaction with the department, their performance, for instance, there that they achieved 53% of their performance indicators in 2013-14, which is a significant improvement, but obviously still some room for improvement. Then think also just mentioned there of the presidency's management and performance assessment tool, which we briefed the committee on fairly recently, just so that you know, there are guidelines for management management assessment of performance that the department can use going forward. The table there, again, you'll be familiar, it was presented to the committee fairly recently. A summary of the performance per government program or per budget program of the department on page 7. Going on to page 8, again, a summary of the performance there. Again, I'm just briefing through and going through this fairly quickly because we've dealt with this recently. The main issues are emerging out of the annual report. We've put in the findings and recommendations section at the end, which will be the place where I think members can have additional input. Then we just summarized the presentation also as well by the Auditor General into the main areas that the Auditor General raised, basically the audit opinion, the methods emphasized, predetermined objectives, or basically performance against targets, and other issues of non-compliance. So again, members will be familiar with this. We've just highlighted what the AG highlighted on accruals, revenue, payables. Again, stop me if I'm going too fast, but I think we dealt with this fairly recently. So we've just included that 10 table that the AG did, covering the last 5 years, on which were the areas of qualification and where they've been repeated. This includes the government entities, printing works, and the electoral commission. So again, that summary from the AG will be useful, I think, going forward in assessing the performance of the department. Are we still on track?
Can you mind that? Just to ask, I don't know, just explain that table with the exit. Couldn't make it a few of it. I understand the top part, but then
So this came out of the presentation or the briefing document by the Auditor General. So if you look at the top of the table there, these are the financial years 9, 10, 10, 11, 11, 12, 12, 13. And then summarizing right on top the overall opinion of the Auditor General. So for instance, Home Affairs started out with a qualified report in 9-10. Actually, before 9-10, they had the claim, which was one of the worst audit opinions. Then they improved to qualified, and then they improved to unqualified, and then regressed back to qualified, and now a further regression back to the claim. So there was an improvement, and then now there seems to be a decline again on the audit opinions. The government printing work, however, remained quite consistent for the past 5 years with unqualified reports across the board. So that's the second best possible audit finding from Keen being the best. IEC also fairly good, going from qualified in 19 to unqualified, unqualified again, Keen not in the year before last, and then last year unqualified. So they've gone down slightly, but they're still doing pretty well. Now, if you look at the next part of the table under DHA, those are the main areas in which the qualifications are raised. These are the main issues. So for instance, if you look at in 10-11, the department's got an unqualified report, so you'll see there's very little X's there. So that means that there were no areas of qualification. If a qualified report, there's areas of qualification. So that's why it's keen over here. Compared to a disclaimer, you'll see there's lots of X's. So the extent to which there are issues affects the quality of the audit that the Audit General gives. And the fact that there were so many extras this year is actually what led to the disclaimer. It means there was insufficient information provided by the department to even be able to give an opinion. So that's how many areas of concern there were. Compared to last year, where there were issues, but they weren't sufficient enough to say that you couldn't give an opinion. And then the next section, the PDO, actually, I think it would probably be better to put this in full. Click here. General does a selected analysis of the performance of the department. So they look at their strategic objectives and then what the evidence they provide to support the targets that they have achieved or not achieved. And so he gives a not as in detailed assessment of the performance, but some assessment of the performance related information. And so there were findings, for instance, for the Department of Home Affairs for the past 4 years. Government printing works only in 9, 10, 11, and the Electoral Commission has been doing well for the past the preceding 2 years, but last year again had some issues on supporting evidence for performance indicators. So last year, the year before last, 2012-13, they didn't have any issues on providing evidence for their performance, but this year they did. You remember there was that issue of them having lots of stakeholder engagements and not being able to provide evidence for it. Compliance. These issues of compliance usually relate to the areas of qualification. So compliance basically just means are the managers implementing laws and are they following procedures. And if there are lots of findings, qualification findings, then generally there are issues of compliance, basically saying that the managers aren't following the right procedures to ensure that issues about don't occur. So again, this area over here has been a consistent issue for the Department of Home Affairs. And although there are extras for government printing works, to a lesser extent, it's for lesser issues. And the Electoral Commission, again, because they clean audit in 12-13, didn't have anything in 12-13, but then again for 13-14, because of lack of evidence for some things, it became a compliance issue. But compliance isn't as high level a critique of the audit as the actual area of qualification. Are we on the same page? Okay. Okay, moving on to page 11. So this, again, is adding in more detail what was summarized in the table above. So the matters emphasized, for instance, for the DHA were the financial reporting framework. So there's particularly a requirement from National Treasury on how to provide evidence for documents, and the department didn't comply with this, but also in relation to their work with DERCO, providing evidence for transactions that happen abroad. So it's a relationship issue more than, I think, something that's specifically the fault of the DHA. But that is a matter of emphasis. Again, matters of emphasis are one category down in terms of critique from areas of qualification. So you can have matters of emphasis without having a qualification on the annual report. But there are issues that continue to re-emerge over several years. For instance, a number two there, restatement of corresponding figures basically means that they found out that they made mistakes in the year before when they were busy doing their current annual report. So when they're doing the 2013 annual report, they looked and they found out that the 2012-13 annual report had some mistakes in it that they need to rectify. So that's an area for the AD of concern, because it basically means they weren't accurate enough in the previous year. But it's better that they discover those issues than they don't. This is findings of the Auditor General in terms of performance information, which again the AG briefed with us recently. So this again relates to whether they can provide evidence for the performance that they report on in the annual report. So some of the information wasn't as useful as it should have been, and the AG says that up to half of the indicators presented on by the DHA didn't have sufficient documents or didn't have sufficient reasons for deviance. So either if they overachieved or underachieved, they didn't indicate why. So the recommendations, for instance, from the AG there, that they must give more clear reasons for deviation, if you look at the last column there, the recommendations from the AG, that monitoring and evaluation section and internal audits must review the annual reports to ensure that assignment to the National Treasury annual report guy, yes. Another one of those included in that annual report guide is the fact that there could be an interim audit. There could be an audit halfway through the year rather than only at the end, which the PSA indicated in the presentation there that they have set in motion. Again, I'm not going to go into too much detail here because some of these issues are raised by us. So the department's already aware of these because the Auditor General has raised them. This committee, in its interactions, addressed some of these issues specifically, and so we include those in our recommendations. So just continue on to the next page on the last column. There, for instance, the third or the fourth bullet. The third bullet on page 8 or 9. So the page number. Oh, page 12. Sorry, I beg your pardon. Page 12 is that there should be monthly reconciliations of performance results to have a real accurate idea of the performance information. So rather than doing it on a quarterly basis, they should be checking of evidence against performance on a monthly basis by both provincial and national managers. Then other recommendations there. Training must be provided where necessary to ensure that the relevant people understand what is required in terms of annual reports. Again, the fact that the department is regressing in their audit findings is contrasted with the fact that they have a learning academy which should actually be training the staff on how to deal with audit matters. Then one more there, the last one, last bullet in that third column, formal standard operating procedures must be established. And so all the recommendations basically need to be set in place in some way that the department has consistent monitoring throughout the year. Then moving on to the next page, page 13, are the recommendations for the IEC. Again, looking at it was reliability of reported performance information, but it was actually only on two performance indicators, or performance targets. What do they call them? They call them performance targets. The Auditor General says the IEC should ensure that all documentation is kept and easily retrievable, which wasn't the case. They generally did it, but they need to think about how they're going to provide that evidence in the future in a more easily accessible way. The GBW there had no findings, so they're doing fairly well. Then human resources, so this is an overview of where the department was at the end of the financial year, so as of end of March 2014. They brought down their vacancy rate from over 10% to 6.6%. They've improved on advertising and filling vacancies within 6 months, but there was still an issue, and they don't report in as much detail as they should in that regard. Again, these are the issues that we raised last week, so that's fairly recently. They've also improved on reporting on disability, and also in terms of appointments of high-level officials, such as for instance, the chief financial officer has been appointed subsequent to this annual report. I think I'm not going to go into too much detail more on that. Then we go to section 6, which is consideration of other sources of information. What we usually consider every year is the State of the Nation address, and there highlighted are the four main issues that emerged out of the State of the Nation address. Obviously, the President did two State of the Nation addresses. I'm talking about the most recent one here in the Fifth Parliament. The main areas that relate to the department there are the service delivery interministerial task team, of which some affairs is a part. And basically there was a prioritization of service delivery in key areas and through collaboration through these departments, including home affairs, human settlements, water and sanitation, transport, public enterprises, rural development and land reform, health and basic education. Those, they're all kind of in a task team which was set in place by the President, which is aimed at improving service delivery. Regional integration was also a major issue raised by the President in terms of the development of the region and the country. Obviously, the Home Affairs has a role to play in this regard in terms of making sure that the legal movement of business persons and skilled persons in the region is improved. Home Affairs is also, like an example of this, for instance, is that the extension of the Zimbabwean social dispensation permit, which happened subsequent to the State of the Nation address, where it will make it easier for, or will make it more likely that Zimbabweans in the country are going to have legal documents and we know who they are and where they are. So that's one area. Then building understanding and fighting intolerance. Building understanding and... No, that's how to say it, yeah. Again, xenophobia is still an issue in the country. The President mentioned the need for like social cohesion and national identity, but that also needs to address issues of intolerance and ongoing violence. So the Department of Home Affairs there, for instance, can work with other similar entities in the region and also perhaps working with other government departments in terms of improving attitudes to skilled foreigners and the fact that we need some skills in the country from other parts of the world. So yeah, that's a general recommendation for the department. And then decent work, especially for youth. So Home Affairs has a dual role in that priority in the sense that they have to provide documents to the youth as soon as possible so they can enter universities, they can apply for jobs, they can get bank accounts and all these things. But also within the department itself, they need to have youth initiatives that they're recruiting youth within the department, that they have internships and these kinds of things, which they have reported on in the past, and they need to continue to do so. Then oversight visit, our brief little oversight visit that we took a walk to Barrack Street is included here. The findings that emerged from that report that we did on that visit were that the minister should ensure that the rollout of live capture as we saw at Barrack Street should be expanded to other offices so that there wasn't as much of congestion at Barrack Street. The minister should also ensure that the Barrack Street was capacitated and staffed for the rollout of the smart ID card. The minister should meet with CISA to reduce internet downtime, because if you remember there were some issues with the systems being online when we were there. And the minister should ensure that the renovations of Barrack Street should disrupt services as little as possible. Then the budget vote report, again this is the budget from the beginning of the year. We just did an analysis of the changes and changes of spend expenditure and also on budget allocations and targets. Don't know if I want to go into too much detail about that, but basically their annual performance plan emerges from their budget, and you've dealt with the budget already, with the annual performance plan already, so it's basically just saying what money is going to support which priority. So I think I'm going to, it's there for members' reference, it is quite useful in the following year when we look at the annual report of the department next year, look at the budget allocation and see whether their performance relates to the increases or decreases of budget allocations to various programs. But for instance, I can raise, the budget allocations were increased to the IEC, which made citizen affairs program budget allocation be generally larger, but it was mostly focused on the IEC. So without the IEC, there was very little actual increased expenditure or budget allocation to the Department for Citizen Services. Another issue which emerged from this from this budget was that there wasn't a significant increase in budget allocation for the immigration services program. And this is a concern because that budget program has consistently struggled in meeting its targets. There's a concern why expenditure is not increasing when performance is not improving. So that's under 6.33 there. Another significant thing that emerged out of the budget was that if you go into the top of page 17, there was a special intervention required by the DHA to ensure that the permanent and temporary residence permits and related backlogs were addressed. And also the minister report on the performance against importing 50,000 skilled immigrants per annum. You'll remember in their annual report, they reported that they didn't achieve the target which they set for themselves, which was only 20,000 skilled immigrants. But they also didn't indicate how many they actually reported on. So this was still an issue when the budget was presented in the beginning of the year. Human resources, again, there's a little bit of a duplication of the annual report. Some of the similar issues, you can just see that there has been some progress in filling of vacancies. At least at the time of the budget, there was still an issue of the CFO, but that's been addressed. Next, if we can move on to 6.5, this is a report from SCOPA, Standing Committee on Public Accounts. And there was a discrepancy here that we've discovered in looking at the annual report of the department versus the findings that we've been able to find from SCOPA with its meetings with the department. Basically, the department indicated that SCOPA had approved a 99 million rand outstanding unauthorized expenditure which arose in 2005 and 2006. They indicated the reason it wasn't done so in its annual report was that there was information outstanding from National Treasury, a finance bill confirmation. But this is the same excuse they gave a year before. So that finance bill confirmation was outstanding in 2012-13 already. So they repeated that as an explanation for this budget amount not being condoned, but that's still an issue. So one of our recommendations, we need to clarify what it is that actually happened around this long outstanding unauthorized expenditure. The department has improved in the sense that they have no additional unauthorized expenditure this year, but there's over a billion rand that's still unauthorized in previous years that the department hasn't authorized. And which they say is also still pending a bill by the by National Treasury. So then there at the bottom of page 17, you'll see an overview of the amounts that were added as unauthorized expenditure. To clarify, in 2019 it was standing at 100 million, and then it reduced briefly, but then it increased to over 700 million in 2011-12 and went up to a billion in 2013-14 from the previous year. So that's obviously a significant concern. Then we're going on to page 18, which are the committee's key findings. Now the findings are basically just what the committee has observed based on all these other interactions in the rest of the document. And we've highlighted some of the key issues. If there are omissions, obviously members can add. The chairperson, as you'll see on my document here, has just asked me to amend them because some of the findings were represented as recommendations, and I've converted them such that they are rather presented as findings, like an observation, rather than saying this must be done or that must be done. It's stated as this is outstanding and that is outstanding, or this needs to be done, or this is what the state of affairs is. So I'm going to go into these with a little bit more detail because the recommendations are based on these. So the first observation there or first finding there is that the vacant funded post in the DHA was still not filled within 6 months, as directed in the 2013 State of the Nation address. So it's a long outstanding issue. The DHA did not achieve the 2% of employment of persons with disabilities. This, in the last part of it, was a theme that was consistently raised by members. It might not be a priority of this committee, but it was mentioned in for several years and still hasn't been addressed. Point three there is that there has been an improvement in the amount of time taken for processing permanent and temporary residence permits, but further improvements were needed in the time to process and a percentage of applications finalized. That does look like a recommendation, but it's also an observation of the committee. Then point four there, the IT modernization, the IT systems of the DHA was still not sufficiently integrated, and I've changed it to make it a finding rather than a recommendation. They're saying they're not sufficiently integrated, and the information technology modernization project of the DHA has not been sufficiently prioritized. So we will send out the amended version as soon as we're done. Then point five there, the DHA had not yet addressed all areas of concern raised in the audit findings raised by the Auditor General in the annual report for 2012-13, so there were still outstanding issues, not from this financial, not from the most recent annual report, but from the previous one. Point six, sufficient measures were not yet taken to address court rulings on the closure of refugee reception offices. So some of those offices have been closed for a number of years, and the plans for implementing new refugee offices are not in place yet. Point seven, the IEC still has work to do towards strengthening attendance of the political party liaison committees. So again, I've turned that into a statement rather than a recommendation. Point eight, the portfolio committee noted that DHA still had to address some findings made by the Auditor General in previous years. That again is now a statement rather than a recommendation. The second sentence on point eight is the collection of revenue emissions abroad was still a major challenge, and GERCO was not providing all supporting documents to DHA. Point nine, the DPW was not providing adequate support to DHA in acquiring and renovating new renovating offices, particularly at borders. And also, this also applies to the government printing works, who's still having delays in finalizing its new headquarters. Point 10, there were challenges in measuring the performance against targets set by the DHA. The leadership of the DHA was not sufficient in the consistent monitoring of performance and ensuring internal audit control. And 11, although the DHA reported that the issues of appointing a chief executive of the internal audit had been resolved, the post had not been filled. The post has not been filled in a permanent capacity as yet. Okay, so the findings are then separated into sections. So that 7.1 is issues outstanding from the previous budget review and recommendation report. 7.2 is issues or findings emerging from the annual report. One being the committee was concerned and disappointed with the regression on the audit outcomes of the DHA and IEC. Of particular concern was the disclaimer received by the DHA. The committee inquired about the changes and differences between arrivals and departures into the country. The committee commended the improvements on the issuing of passports and smart ID cards to citizens. The department was spending approximately $5 million on basic adult education, which was actually a responsibility of the Department of Basic Education. It seemed that there was no sense of genuine accountability in the department. There were levels of assurances in the department. However, it seemed that people were not doing their work. Persons who had overstayed their permits through no fault of their own had been declared undesirable persons banned from entering South Africa in terms of the recently implemented amendments to the Immigration Act. This has had the effect of separating families and was leading to significant complaints against the DHA. Point seven, the committee expressed a concern that there was persistent reporting on contingent liabilities related to unresolved, long-outstanding legal cases against the department. The committee noted the report of the Human Rights Commission on abuse of illegal immigrants at the Lindela facility, and it was concerning that the department was not addressing the issue urgently. There's a small error there. The committee expressed concern that some of the staff by the DHA were not of the DHA, some of the staff in the DHA were not vetted and could be handling security information such as people's identity documents and passports, maybe as a range of security concern. And then lastly, point 10 there for annual report was the DG indicated that the Standing Committee on Public Accounts had approved 99 million in unauthorized expenditure, 53 million of which the DHA must fund through savings. The reason given that the amount was still recorded in the annual report was the required finance bill confirmation was delayed. However, this was the same reason given in the previous financial annual report. And the outstanding amounts emanating from 2011 and 2012 were reported as being raised with Treasury to be funded through a finance bill. But progress hasn't been reported on yet. And then the findings emanating from the budget, quarterly reports, and annual performance. So basically the outstanding other issues raised by the committee. The committee inquired whether changes were needed to ensure more consistent quarterly spending. The committee inquired on the provision of bandwidth from CETA, whether it was reliable and whether alternatives had been considered. The committee endorsed the prioritized rollout of live capture and biometric functions in all offices around the country. The committee inquired on the accounting policy and system implemented for the collection of fees by DHA on behalf of the DHA, the budget reduction and name change of the IT modernization project from Who Am I Online was noted with concern. So members might not be familiar, basically this is a very large scale IT integration project and it used to be called Who Am I Online, but then there were some problems with the tender around that. And the finances and the naming of that project has now been changed to the IT modernization project. So it might be difficult in terms of monitoring over the past 5 years, like is this the same thing, Who Am I Online and IT modernization. So just so members are aware, when we're looking at IT modernization project, in previous years we referred to as the Who Am I Online project. So we're able to monitor the various over a number of years. The committee noted the improvement in service delivery time in key civic documents. And there was, however, still a need for other key documents, such as the unabridged birth certificate and permanent residence permit, as well as a need for better services in some offices. Point 7, the committee noted the reduced reliance on consultants by the DHA. The committee noted immigration initiatives, such as the Border Management Agency, as a positive step towards improving security. The committee noted there were limited budget allocation increases across all programs of the department. Whilst there were limitations across all departments, the concern was that this would have a negative impact on the already low performance against targets, particularly in immigration services. Then on the next page 20.10, this indicated that immigration and asylum would be a priority for the 2013-14 year, and yet several refugee reception offices remained closed. Then 7.4, this is findings relating to the GPW and the Electoral Commission, separated for ease of reference. Point 1 there is the committee questioned whether the GPW was confident that it would be able to finance its own expenditure and growth to a state-owned entity over the medium-term expenditure period. Whilst appreciating the progress made, the committee expressed concern regarding ongoing delays in special salary dispensation that had been approved by the DPSA. I'm going to say it's for the DPW, so that's not clarified, for the GPW. Then point 3, the committee expressed general appreciation with the progress made by the IEC, but encouraged the commission to resolve the audit issue related to source documents to support performance against two predetermined objectives. And now we move on to the recommendations. So the recommendations in turn emanate from these findings. There are a selection of them, obviously focusing more on where there are shortfalls. And also what we try to do is try and make them as specific and as time-bound as possible. So basically, we also have a recommendation right at the end that all these issues are dealt with within six, are reported on to the committee within 6 months of the adoption of this report. So they're also for the DHA, IEC, and GPW. The first recommendation there being, so you changed it to take the minister out. The last sentence there, the Portfolio Committee on Home Affairs recommends that the minister should ensure the following. Because again, the minister is accountable to Parliament. First thing, seriously consider prioritizing budget allocation and related performance improvements in the immigration program. The continued low performance on refugee and immigration related performance indicators is compounded by the prioritization and requirement of funds to the Citizen Affairs and Administration program. Address the issue of human rights violations at the Lindela Repatriation Centre as a matter of urgency. The committee noted with concern the report of the South African Human Rights Commission on the violating of rights at Lindela. Point three, identify and address the key risk areas and locations affecting the outstanding issues of payables and revenue in relation to DERCO services provided on behalf of the DHA in certain missions. Best international practices in this regard should be considered. Delays in progressing of travelers' documents at busy ports like Beitbridge should continue to be addressed. In terms of the prioritization of regional integration, the infrastructure and staffing issue, as well as the rollout of one-stop border posts to other busy ports of entry, need to be facilitated. Clarity should be provided on the outstanding finance proclamation bill relating to SCOPA, condemning 99 million rand in unauthorized expenditure. The delayed bill was reported as the reason for this amount still being reflected as unauthorized since 2012-13 annual report. Information to be provided to Parliament within 90 days of the adoption of this report by the National Assembly. This information is to be provided. Point six there, a progress report on the budget related to closed refugee reception centres and progress on plans for relocation of centres to the borders should be provided to Parliament within 90 days of the adoption of this report by the National Assembly. Prioritising the urgent finalisation of the special salary dispensation for GPW with the DPSA. Point eight, while there is general appreciation of the progress made by the IEC, the Commission must be encouraged to resolve the audit issues related to source documents to support performance against two predetermined objectives. And then nine, DH must address the issues raised by the Auditor General in 2013-14 and strive towards a clean administration. So what we have obviously there is take for additions or subtractions or amendments. So I'll hand over to you. Thank you, Shepard.
Thank you very much for your assistance to us. Honorable members, I think we have got three tasks to do now on this report. One, those specific matters that need to be cleared up. Corrections to the report, and then from there, then we need to look at the findings, and then the last one, then we have to look through the recommendation. And one basic thing is that the recommendations must talk to the findings. We shouldn't find ourselves making a finding that we're doing nothing about it. And that's one little thing that we may need to do. And I think on the basis of corrections, honorable member, if there are possible corrections, you could start on the first page of the report. Is there anything that any member wants to raise as a matter of correction to make the report to be our report? Then I move to page 2. On page 2, I'm sure you've got a correction now on 1.2. It reads Department of Home Affairs, the heading, so that there is no confusion. Is there any other thing that needs to be talked to in terms of correction? None. Then on page 3, Honorable Hussein.
Chair, just the paragraph highlights of the DHA over the 2009, that's quite a bullet point.
Yeah.
The one where you talk about the FIFA World Cup, I don't know what it means. The department was able to deliver all the 2010, probably on all of its commitments or something.
Yeah, I think there is a need of some modification there to actually reflect to the contribution of the department.
Yeah, I said people will have commitment. People will have commitment to our standards.
Come again, just read your new version.
Yeah, the department was able to
deliver all the 2010 FIFA World Cup commitments to a high standard. I just added the word commitments after World Cup.
Yeah. I think that improves it. What do you say?
Yeah.
And then the second bullet, I just need verification. That 2014, is it correct? I think the department is continuing late registration in December.
No.
Can't be 2014.
Yeah, no, 2015.
That's just very far.
I'll check.
Definitely it's not 2014. We're going to have a serious uproar. It's 2015. Please just verify that one. And then, what else on that? On this page? None. We go to page 4. On page 4, from my side, paragraph 3, analysis of the annual performance plan. The manner in which you started that paragraph creates a problem to me. Because if you say it appears as if, that means the opposite is correct. Then I think we must just simply indicate that there is some confusion. Start with that, to revisit that, and to remove the it appears as if. If there is confusion, there is confusion. We must not try and dodge to say it straight away.
I mean, there is some confusion
rather than it appears. Yes. Okay. And then, any other issue members that we can raise? That's to clear. Yes.
Okay, just a question, and maybe just guide me on this. On the last point on that page, it says, the DHA does have an impact on inclusive growth through the importing of critical skills and ensuring the monitoring of standards and documents by government in India. I'm not sure if you can actually make that statement in an image. I kind of had a joke with that. If you look at the last sentence on that page,
mm-hmm.
although outcome 4 has not been included as a priority by the DHA and the performance plan, the DHA does have an impact on inclusive growth through the importing of critical skills and ensuring the monitoring of savages. It has quite anecdotal stuff, because in the one, somewhere in the document you talk about they're not reaching the target of 50,000, and then here you're making the statement that they're making a contribution to it. I'm not sure that we can make the claim.
I think the lack of clarity is that they then they should, rather than that they are. So that's an ambiguity.
But should you qualify the growth and say inclusive? Do you really have to put that word inclusive? That is a subjective thing. But the growth, of course, the growth, if we import the skills,
okay,
that will contribute to growth. And then whether that growth is inclusive is a subjective matter.
I think if we add the word potential there, it's probably the problem. Because this is making a claim. Don't have the potential to contribute towards.
Yeah, it is not a fact now.
Yeah.
I think what you have written here is not a fact. We just simply say that if this outcome is included in the performance plan, this is the kind of impact that you think it will have.
Okay. So on the matter of inclusive growth, that's just how the wording is in terms of the government priorities. You look at outcome 4 there, just above that paragraph. Decent employment through inclusive growth. So, again, I mean, it's a bit of a conjecture. I mean, so it's just, that's the way it's stated in the outcome for that. I can take it out, but I'm trying to relate it to that outcome.
Yeah, it's correct what you are saying. But here you are actually trying to translate it into DHA. Because wherever you have read it, then it talks to inclusive growth as a target or whatever, it's fine. But when you translate it now to the DHA, then I'm not sure whether you can talk the same. Because the target is the target. And then, but the performance of the department, then it can't really, because as I'm indicating that, to really go to an extent of talking about inclusive growth is actually an outcome of an assessment. Not necessarily the contribution of the department of an individual. All of us, we contribute to growth, and then it depends whether those that are seeing the growth, then they actually ensure that everybody else is accommodated.
Okay. On that point, what I stated here after the comma is that the DHA does have a potential to impact on growth through importing of skills, etc., etc. So change that sentence.
Okay. I think you are helping us.
I mean, if you go to the top of the page for me there. The Learning Academy. I'm just gathering just for the purpose of the chairperson, I'm just checking whether that is still there. Cater development. Are you sure it's development, not employment?
Where are we?
We
say
that.
No. You see, cater deployment is embedded in the members of the African National Congress. It doesn't need to be in a paper. It is almost like culture, so you don't need to.
I'm sure this is like from
the UK. Yes. Honorable Ken.
Concerned about the many ends.
The bullet. Honorable members, there was something that I decided to share with you. With the committee secretary. You see on page 5, we have got section 32 expenditure report.
Make recommendations for the midterm budget.
let's hear Adam and then continue.
I think part of the confusion here is that the order in which these things appear, that the annual performance analysis comes after the Section 32 report. So now we are actually required to look at this section, this year's Section 32 report, but it would be less confusing if it was in the right order. If we did the annual report first, then the budget, then the ADP, then the Section 32, because that's the order that they emerge in time. Just the template from Parliament has them in a different order, and I think the chairperson's concerns would be addressed if we put them in a logical order. So you can see, for instance, if there's an issue emerging in the annual report and it still isn't addressed in the first quarter expenditure, then you see that already now we can say like they need to start making changes before the end of this financial year. So you can make recommendations. So we are required to look at this financial year, but it would be better if we included the information as it emerged in time. It's just that we dealt, for instance, we dealt with the annual report after we dealt with the Section 32 report, but the annual report is actually dealing with the period prior to the Section 32 report. So we can move it around in such a way that this is a better logical flow for the recommendations. But as far as I understand, and I'll double check this, but the budget, the money bills and amendment procedures act requires that we look at this year's financial Section 32 report.
Yeah. Welcome, welcome.
Thank you very much, President. I just wanted to add my thinking beyond what the chairperson has raised and what our research has given us. Do we have the power, chairperson, to actually change the flow, as he has stated, you know, from Section 32 to whatever report, or is it how the system actually in the institution work? Because we can make a recommendation, but would that recommendation actually be taken, or probably it could be started by the chairperson at the chairperson's meeting, you know, that type of a way of doing things. Because it would be changing a whole system of doing things here.
Yeah, switch off the mic. Well, I think the structure of reports, I'm sure there are meetings in the committee section, you know, it's, there is some sort of a quality control system there. And then, you know, it, they can go and have a discussion and then and see how they deal with that. But you see, it's, probably maybe I must go deep into that money bills. And see this. I really do not see any sense of dealing with an annual performance of the previous year and mix it with current activity. I really don't see, because what we have dealt with the APP, and the APPs are actually the strategic planning department saying, for this financial year until the end of March 2015, this is what we are going to do. So next year when we actually now evaluate their performance, we must evaluate it against their plan. And then we can evaluate them with what they are doing in the following financial year. They told us this is what they are going to do, then we need to evaluate, have they done that? And then if they have taken certain decisions during that particular financial year to solve certain things, it's fine. But, you know, that is my little predicament. Because the expenditure now in September, whatever it has been reflected here, it has not been part of their strategic plan for the past financial year. No. This expenditure we are having last September, it forms part of their strategic plan from 1st April 2014 to 31st 2015. And you can evaluate this expenditure within that strategic plan, not on the previous strategic plan. So I think honorable members that let us continue and discuss and debate this moving to the following year, and then and see how correct we are, and then make the necessary consultation with the other relevant authorities. Mm-hmm. Because we really can't confuse ourselves on a thing that is very important.
So it's very clear that the focus of it, the current expenditure, is looking at the past performance of the department for us to make recommendations on the current expenditure and how we want to make adjustments to that budget. That's the reason why it's here.
Okay. I think we will graduate from this discussion as we move forward. Honorable members, then on page 5, is there any correction of? None, page 6. On the analysis, I think I just need, Adam, that you assist us, especially with figures, and make sure that the correct figures that are printed. Because we may not make the difference on 14.4% or whatever easily now, because these numbers are too many on the report. And then page 7, I just want to recommend that the last was one paragraph, program 2 civil services. The accounting officer in brackets, who is the DG? Why don't we just simply put DG in brackets? Why do we have to write who is? Does this bring any other conceptual meaning? Because the DG is accounting officer anyway.
I think it was just a clarity, like one of the editors added that is DG the shortening for accounting officer? And it's not.
Then do we have to write it DG in any way? Because the accounting officer is clear that it's a DG.
Yeah, I'll take the
fact. Then we just send it to the dustbin. That thing is a print project. Because it doesn't bring any new interpretation. Is that the only thing on page 7? Page 8. Yes.
Sure, one is, which paragraph is that? The difference between data for foreign national. I don't think you need the word data there, because that's comparing something else. So it should be that the difference between foreign nationals arriving and departing. Isn't that what we're comparing? Mm-hmm. We're not comparing the data.
Mm-hmm.
First,
second, third,
fourth, fifth, fourth. Okay.
I think this was on one of the slides that was presented by the DG.
Yeah.
And the way he actually tried to explain why is it that those that were coming were more than those that were actually leaving. And he tried to explain that. What is the question to be clarified?
The point is, if you read that sentence as it stands now, what you're comparing is the data of foreign nationals. In actual fact, what you should be comparing is the arriving and departing foreign nationals. So if you read the sentence...
Okay, you can modify it to be much more direct.
What's the difference between foreign nationals arriving and departing South Africa? I think it's sufficient. That's what you're trying to argue, isn't it?
Yeah, I think we can just remove the word judge. younger brother.
Okay.
Yeah. Because the dad, I think, it may also even including their IDs and all, and what kind of food they eat and all. Yeah. Then page 9. I think page 9 is supposed actually to be a transcript of what the age is according. Of IRS exports from the ages report. Yes, just press the mic there. No, I think there is an additional meaning that is being brought by that. Is that the port of entry do exist, but then they wanted to, I think they are putting advanced equipment to achieve certain goals. Yes.
I think they roll out even sounds better. The GSA indicated rolling out an additional 13 points of entry with an enhanced movement control system. Would that sound better?
Yeah. It does remove the wheel. Okay. We're going to page 10.
On 9,
yeah.
I just want to ask a question of clarity. And then this item 1, approval, just explain what that means. Is that some money that the DHA owes to the department to DERCO? Or is it the other way around? So I understood it the other way around when I read the, and I might be wrong.
So the two main areas that are distinguished there are between accruals and payables. And the difference being that the accruals is where there's receipts, but the money hasn't been paid. Whereas payables, the cash has been received, but there's no receipt. So that's how the National Treasury has said the department needs to record it.
So you actually say that this money is due to come to DHA.
Yeah, so there's two
or
main areas.
Been received,
yeah, there's two main areas.
There is no documents to account for the money received by DHA.
Yeah, so the accruals is where there's a receipt or a verification of payment, but they haven't received the money. Whereas the contrast with payables, which is point 4 there, where it's the other way around. I was a little confused between these two, but it's distinguished in the National Treasury regulations that the department needs to distinguish approval from payable. So where they've got the receipt, versus they don't have the money, versus where they've got the money and they don't have the receipt. So those are the two areas that the National Treasury. So you need to look at accruals in contrast with payables.
Yeah, payable should be referring to money that the department should pay up.
Mm-hmm.
And receivable is what the department expects to receive. And then now, accruals, then it should be talking to, in relation to this, it should be talking to money that is accruing to the department. Either whether the money accrued to the department, but the receipts don't fall to the department. or received, has been received, and the money did not fall. Because when a receipt is, or a document is sent to DHA, that's not, here is the money that you are getting from DEVCO, but then the money doesn't fall. Because of that particular document that certifies that that money is due to DHA, that money is approved.
I think the confusion obviously is because it's not actually money that's accrued, it's actually services. So that the DERCO has done services, that means DHA has accrued services, but they haven't paid for them yet. So they've got evidence of the services being done for them, but they haven't given DERCO the money yet. So that's why I've highlighted their service is accrued by the DHA.
Whether you are actually crafting this paragraph from the point of view of DHA or from DEVCO.
Yeah.
I think that is what will sort out your language.
Okay.
I think because if you are actually speaking from DHA and speaking from DEVCO, then these accounting terms then become the problem. You must first take your position. You are reporting this from the DHA point of view. Then you'll be knowing what is coming to DHA, what is supposed to go out. Because when you go to DEVCO the other side, then the terms reverse. Am I making sense? And then we'll just have a problem now because this particular paragraph is going to hold us. Maybe we'll give you time.
Okay, no,
I'll
make sure that it's 100% clear in the final version.
Okay. Honorable Hussein, is there any other thing?
Just
I think we'll just put a line on that particular paragraph that we still need to come back to. Yes.
That's 109 million animals of fish, 200 million. 9 million is a big difference. And in the annual report it's 200.9 million. Not 209. Okay, yeah, just put an outfit.
I'm gonna 148
of the annual report. Right?
Okay.
Let me just double check that. I got the information from the notes the back one. Not from that.
209.9, then it will be changing to what?
200.9. Double. Yeah, I also double. Somebody's going to go change the 9 million.
It's 200.9.
Yes, not 209.
Okay, I'm going to make a point of checking all the.
Page 10, I think your PGO, you have already corrected it,
yes.
Predetermined of objective, complete that correction. And then number two, We don't have that. That doesn't exist. It should read electoral commission. The I only comes in an abbreviation, IEC. But if you write in full, then it's electoral commission only. So I think it's appearing twice on that page. Okay? It's three times. Yeah. Are we okay? Then we go to page 11, if honorable members, you have got nothing. I think there is another thing that you may need to look at, because we have got somewhere where we wrote the Auditor General, then in brackets you write AG. It's not correct. AG doesn't stand for Auditor General with an S at the end. So we must just look somewhere right at the beginning where we talk about Auditor General straight, then you put AG in brackets. I just hope that I'm making sense. Okay. All right. Honorable Iflan.
Mr. Chair, you know, I'm trying to read this sentence on page 10, commitments. The AG was unable to obtain sufficient appropriate audit evidence. We need to use both of those words, sufficient and appropriate.
Otherwise, must put a comma in between.
Yeah. Page 10 commitment.
Page 10, the second paragraph at the top. On page 10, up.
Yeah.
There you are.
Number 10.
That's number 10.
Yeah.
I think must put your comma after sufficient. And it should solve many things. Does it solve your problem, Dublin?
Yes, I think so.
Ah, okay.
And then also on the AG, you know, put that S also. AG.
AG?
Yeah. AG.
Yeah. I think that one is correct now. Can you go to the next page? Page 11, there's a lot of text there. I have not been able to put my eagle's eye on it. Can I get assistance? Those that have gone through, is there anything that needs to be done? None? So I'm told that this is an extra from the AG's report, SE. Is that correct, Adam?
Yes.
Page 12.
Yes.
Please tell us objective. So we must just make sure that we don't copy correctly.
Yes.
Then page 13, the bottom half. The last but one paragraph, in terms of critical occupation category, there was a particularly high vacancy rate of 21%. Is it really particularly high? Or is that simply a high vacancy rate?
But just compared to the vacancy rate in other professional areas. So compared to the other vacancy areas, that's high. So if the vacancy rate for the department is only 6.6%, it's particularly high for legal services.
If you go to the next paragraph, then there is reference to 30% and 23%, which was called significantly high.
I'll take out particularly.
Thank you very much. Thank you. on that. You see, because when you say particularly high, then this is now an assessment from you are expressing a view. That's why I had a small problem with that. Can we go to page 14? On page 13, honorable page.
Only paragraph. Of human talking, second paragraph. Says that sentence, that is only partial information was given in this regard. Only period taken to account, and this only for senior management. Now, and this only is not a general gesture.
You see the sentence?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We can just re-draft that sentence.
Okay.
So do you read that one?
Mm-hmm.
You would ask Elian.
I've stated it as on the period taken to appoint vacant
posts. Yeah.
And this was only, this was only for senior management.
Are you in? Okay, then we proceed. To the next page, page 14. I'm not sure, Honorable Nkomo, whether you've got anything to raise. Because I'm misled by your hand, because it's just like,
actually it is misleading, Kate, because I just wanted to go for the Amanda signing. But then we can continue.
You are remembering your route.
Yes, thank you.
There is no harm on that. Honorable members, on page 14, I just have a problem with the two headings at the bottom. Is this our own crafting or we have exported them from some other document? Build understanding and fight intolerance. I believe that we can recraft that heading to be readable. What is there that you want to communicate with that heading?
It was something that emerged from the State of the Nation address, and it was my summary of that at that time. I'll include it in such a way that it doesn't. Yeah, I see what your problem is. I'll restate it. We'll just think about how to do it, and I'll restate it.
Yeah, and then also the bottom one. He said, "Work especially for you." Is it not just simply youth employment? That's not what we're talking about in the state of the national
debt. Yeah, there was also a decent was a critical one there. It's not just part-time internships. We can say decent youth employment.
Yeah.
I mean that in the text you can have that word decent, but I don't mean on the heading.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. On the heading, so that the heading is readable, that the it is talking about youth employment and then now on the text, and then you can find a way of actually bringing in the word decent and all that. A heading is a heading. It must just simply take you to a particular area, and then when you get to the area, then you get a specific. Because some of these things, the problem is that when you read it, decent work, especially for you, and then now when the work that is given to you is not decent, then this paragraph does not apply. that is very problematic. Yeah. Where are we now? to do the redrafting of the heading. Okay.
Instead of the bold understanding and fight intolerance, I've just said need to fight intolerance as the heading, or the need to fight intolerance.
Okay.
And then the heading becomes youth employment, and I've changed the text to refer to creating decent work.
Okay. Okay. I think we are good. On page 15, now you see, you have the oversight visit, and which is just yesterday's oversight visit. This is what brings me to that trigger discussion. And then for now we'll leave it in, but we're still going to talk about this in the next annual performance, because that's where this will find expression. Then page 16. Page 15, the paragraph that says 6.3.3, just above it, where you're talking about the Film and Publications Board, there's no danger, actually, putting that sentence that says it has been moved to communication. But the way that we have used within, I doubt whether it is sent the correct message. The paragraph just above the 6.3.3. The last entity, the Film and Publications Board, received a 10% real reduction in expenditure in 2014, reflected across all its four programs. Then the Film and Publications Board was relocated within the Department of Communication. I think it has been relocated to this department, not within.
There's two instead of within.
I think so. You can send the correct message, because it has jumped from one department to another one. Within may be meaning that, it moved from one corner to another corner within communication, whereas it moves from DHM. And then I'm not sure whether that first part that talks to 10% real reduction, we really need to show it. Because the communications annual performance, they may be having a different view and expressing that sentence differently. Can you just indicate that this entity has been moved to communications full stop? Then we don't talk about it. To allow communications then to express themselves the manner in which they want to do so. We just retain the last sentence. We just simply say the last entity, fence. Then you write the FPB was relocated to the Department of Communication. And subsequent to the finalization of the budget, I don't know what that means. Let's just simply say it has been relocated to the Department of Communication, full stop. So then our report then will be actually signifying the time on which it is now is receiving attention to another department. So I would say the report on which we are based. Are we together? Mm-hmm. Then you go to page 17? Or other page?
Page 16.
Page 16.
Only communication 17.
prepared in that last interview, he said that the day was to start with the aim of this program is to facilitate and regulate. He said some of the doctors will pull the port of entry in and out. Can you say in and out is look into and out?
I have not yet picked up where you are.
Oh,
which paragraph?
Best paragraph.
The first paragraph.
Is, that is that project that starts with the aim of this program.
Oh, okay.
Then, move the doctors through the force of energy into and out of the Republic. How do you say in and out? Is into the right way of entry into.
That's not how it's stated in the strategic plan of the department. I mean, we can change it for our purposes, but that's how it is in the strategic plan.
Okay, if it has been copied as is, then it is fine. It still gives the same meaning. The only thing is that we are not used to actually read it like this. But the meaning is still the same. Spoken English, of course, we don't write or read it like that. But I think the meaning is still the same. I'm not an expert on English. I was told that Hussein wrote the English Age. Yes. But you don't have a problem with me. Okay. Can you go to page 17 there? On page 17, 6.5. It, however, had outstanding balances of over 1 billion. 99.9 million of which relate back to 2005/06. I would just love to ask if you could insert the description of that specific 99.9 million. Either to have it as 99.9 million of which relate to unauthorized expenditure back to 2005-06. So that we describe that 99.9. So that whoever reads and then must go and be reading unauthorized expenditure, that's where you find that number. If that number stands for unauthorized expenditure. Then the second thing is that the next line below, where you speak about the Commission of Public Accounts, has approved this 99 million. If you shorten it to a whole number, it will be 100. It can't be 99 again. When it was 99.9, otherwise, my son approved that 0.9 again. So that there is consistency of the number. Okay. Are we all happy about that page?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I just needed a point of clarity on that particular paragraph as well, where I think it's the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, the sixth line, which starts with the Director General, indicated that the spending. No, it's this issue after the 53 million of which the DHA must fund from savings on its budget. What was this matter of the savings, Chairperson, an input that was given by the department? Because if one is talking about new and regular expenditure, and one is also talking about savings. It does not seem to make much sense. I just needed a bit of some clarity on the matter of the savings.
Can you continue to explain that?
Sure. Basically, what the annual report indicates was that 99 million rand of unauthorized expenditure had been approved, and the condition for it being approved was that they needed to fund that amount, 53 million of that amount, to be savings in the department's budget. So going forward, the department needs to cut 53 million in order to justify that unauthorized expenditure not being raised in later years. I can just kind of make the sentence more clear so when somebody else reads it for the first time, then they'll understand it.
Yeah. Add some few text to that to improve it, to be readable and understandable. Then we're going to go now to findings.
Sorry, last again, that a meeting is called on this matter. It's still true. They take on this matter for November. If you can remove one on this matter, maybe to replace it again. To receive by removal one.
Yeah, we have to move one
off on this matter. Takes us now to page 18. Huh? We are on page 18. Okay. Honorable members, on page 18, there is a little bit of improvement that we need to bring in. A finding is exactly what is happening. What is happening? Finding. The second funded post in DHA were not filled within 6 months as directed in the case of the national address. It's a fact, it's a finding. It's a state of affairs at that particular time. And then also we have found that the DHA did not achieve the 2% of the employment of persons with disabilities. It's definitely a finding. FE.
Then the third one is saying there has been an improvement in the amount of time taken for processing permanent and temporary residence permits. Up to that point, it is a fact, it is a finding. Then the following, the sentence that follows starting with fairness. You have a problem, because it's not a finding. He tells us of certain things that must happen, that is, and their effect to happen. To me, that may be talking to a recommendation, someone. I will just cut that one out, Adam, and try and paste it somewhere else. If we have to make any recommendation for improvement in that regard, and then we should do so.
I think there is one difficulty with this particular section 7.1 because it's outstanding from the prior year. So there were recommendations in the prior year, and now we're converting them to findings in this year.
That's correct, but so correct is so that it's just
okay, so there are still improvements needed in the time to process applications, but we can say rather than, you can say improvements were still needed in the time to process and in the time to process applications. Or should I just take out the last bit? We can say improvements were still needed in the time to process applications finalized.
But I don't contradict the first sentence with the under that reality.
Yeah.
Because you're saying there is improvement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Further improvements are still needed.
Mm,
that's what we are saying is that no matter how you put it, that one is that you are recommending. That's why I'm saying if we have got an opportunity to improve that document. We'll take the first part that is a finding, and then it was recommended before. And then, but now when you transpose the recommendations now to findings, then you must make sure that they are readable. Understand that you're almost saying that we are just cutting and pasting the recommendations into findings. But you must adapt it for them to be readable. Otherwise, people will not understand it. They'll get confused. When they read the finding, it is also having a recommendation in it. And then when you go in front of them, you've got recommendations that you are making. Does it make sense?
I think what we can also do is if we take out that last sentence. Yeah, what I can say is there had been insufficient improvements in the amount of time taken to for processing permanent assemblies. So there were improvements, but they were insufficient.
Mm-hmm.
And then I take out the last sentence.
Mm-hmm. Then we, other members, I'm just going through these ones that are here in the document, and then if you've got any other one, then after 11, then we can, but anyway, these ones are stolen from the previous report, so there will be little additions to this one.
Mm-hmm.
We will talk to the rest that come. Then now four.
I'm happy with the slight adjustment of the insufficient improvements, but I'm not sure it's capturing the actual problem that you've got. And maybe you want to make a note there, Adam, page 69 on the annual report, just to read the one sentence. The processing of permanent residence applications within 8 months was not achieved.
No,
they've only done half. And in the last year, they focused on the backlog. Now they've done only half, so you're guaranteed to get another backlog in the next year. because it's already done out. So
yeah,
that's something that's a significant finding you want to make, is that they, although they eradicated the backlog from the previous year, they now created future backlog. It's going to happen. Although they say they to avoid any recurrent backlog.
I think the insufficient improvement, I think it should be accommodating. Because the 50%, they were starting almost from zero. And then that improvement only achieved 50%, which means it's insufficient. That improvement is insufficient.
I get that.
Yeah. So you want to make a further finding on the backlog?
Yes.
Where are we going to actually insert it?
On the
TI. I thought that they were saying, Honorable was saying, that what they have here were recommendations that were made in the previous annual report. And now those recommendations have not been fulfilled in full. Now they are taking them now to be findings on the recommendations that we have made, that we are now finding that they have not been dealt with. So, yes.
And it's important that you raise it there. Unless you want to raise it as a recommendation, and I'm satisfied with it, but the principle of backlog must be addressed. Otherwise, because what the department did is they focused their attention. Let me just read this paragraph, it will make sense to you. The permanent resident backlog project was implemented to eradicate backlog applications.
Yeah.
All backlog applications were finalized, and the department is working on current applications.
Yeah.
So on the current applications, it says the processing of permanent resident applications within 8 months was not achieved. We only got half of that.
Yeah.
The eradication of backlog ensured that officials can concentrate on target mitigation. So they're trying to prevent the
backlog.
But they're going to create a new
backlog. Can you find somewhere else where we can raise it?
I've been through it.
You can modify this little one.
The second sentence there, after the insufficient improvement, is the processing of applications within 8 months has still not been achieved for 50% of PR applications, and will create further backlogs going forward.
Okay. So, but that sentence that says further improvements were needed, that was removed.
No,
that was removed. Yes, okay, then you can. You can refer to that one that talks of further backlog being generated. Okay, number four, the IT systems of the DHA were still not sufficiently integrated.
Full stop.
Well, as I indicated when I presented, that's now changed to address your issue earlier about it not being a finding. That now reads, the IT systems of the DHA were still not sufficiently integrated, and the IT information, the IT modernization project of the DHA had not been sufficiently prioritized.
Mm. Yeah, but that is your view.
Mm.
It's not a finding.
Okay.
But let us not express a view. Let us not express a view. And because you may find that now they have prioritized, but there is not one to be on level. And it will be a contestable argument. I think we just need to put that first sentence, and then the next one, then let us just kill it. Or we take it to the recommendation.
Yeah.
Where we speak to them directly now.
Which one are we
choosing?
I'm getting scared.
Come again?
I'm really getting scared for this. Number four. Item number four. Can we use another word except to remove it? Or move it to recommendation.
You know, it's, I think that currently there is a court ruling about So probably that is what the member of it worries about. That's not what I come here. This is not something I call.
Okay, I've scratched the second sentence.
Okay. But don't throw it to dustbin. And then either just simply cut and paste it in the accommodation, then when you get there, then you can recraft it correctly to reflect what you want the department to do about it.
So we do have it in the recommendation.
Yes. And then number five, the DHA has not yet addressed all the areas of concern raised in the audit findings. Yeah.
Page five.
Yeah.
Still on four.
Yeah.
There's two issues there about the IT system. The one is the integration, and the other one is the implementation of the modernization part of it. That part is also not implemented. Because of some the word they use? Some technical something.
But I think that the modernization is something that they are busy with currently. All what needs to happen is that you must make an appropriate recommendation, whether for them to speed it up or to whatever that you want to ask, you want them to do.
No, there's two issues. What Adam has got there deals with the IT system, the integration of the system between the different border posts. I think the DG made that one clear when he was here last week.
Yeah.
So this one talks to the integration of the system. What I'm speaking to is something completely different. It's the implementation. It's the difference between the implementation and the integration. And you see they talk about the unanticipated technical complexity of not being able to implement it. That's the finding. So it's twofold. And that's the best place that I can put it, instead of adding another finding.
Yeah, but can you craft it? How should it be?
You could simply say the implementation and integration of the IT system were insufficient. So you're dealing with both. You're dealing with
okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There's no danger in that. You got it, Adam?
Mm-hmm.
All right. And then now we go to five. The DHA has not yet addressed all areas of concern raised in the audit findings raised by the Auditor General. The annual report for that
raised by
I think it is a finding, but you must just simply just modify it so that is the raised in and the raised by.
Sorry, I just repeat that. It looks like on the last point. Help me.
Okay.
Really?
Number five.
Mm-hmm.
It is a correct finding. But you must just simply make it readable. Because it says, you know, the concern raised in the audit finding raised by the Auditor General.
Raised in the audit finding,
raised by the Auditor General.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what you think.
Then we use only one raise. Concern raised by the Auditor General in the annual report for 2012 prospective. Thanks. Then six says sufficient measures were not yet taken to address court ruling on the closure of refugee reception offices.
Not taken.
If measures funds were not yet taken, why are we qualifying it to be sufficient or not sufficient?
There were some measures, but not
On that matter, for instance, they had a temporary refugee reception office at the foreshore, but that's since closed down, and they had some interim arrangements, but the actual issue is for the problem.
Let's craft it the other way around.
Okay.
And say insufficient measures were taken to address the cost.
We're not taking.
Then our recommendation then will be asking them to actually take more measures for themselves or step up their thoughts in that regard. Then 7, I think is the recommendation. The IEC should work towards strengthening attendance.
Yeah, the way I've crafted it here is the IEC still has to work towards strengthening attendance of the political party liaison committee. Still kind of recommendation, but then they still have work to do.
Still the same, Adam. Either you see that there is less attendance to the political party liaison of committee, then it becomes a statement of fact, or the poor attendance or whatever, then that is what must be said. When you talk about strengthening is a recommendation, you now actually putting something to be done. But the statement of fact is that if there is poor attendance to the political party liaison committee, then must say so. Then on the recommendation then we make the call of strengthening or IEC to strengthen the other.
Right.
Yes, Marco.
I think Chairperson, let's remind ourselves what was said over this matter of the party liaison committee.
Yeah.
When the department was giving us a presentation, they stated the fact. They said the responsibility of ensuring that party liaison committees actually attend rests with political parties. Now, the way we are crafting it here, we are actually saying it is the responsibility of the IEC, and yet it's the responsibility of political parties. I think we need to craft it in a way that actually shows that who has the big responsibility here. It's not the IEC.
Who coordinates that? Who's the secretariat?
The secretariat is the IEC. But the responsible and accountable person who ensures that people come are political parties. The accountable person.
There is somebody that coordinates the meeting, somebody that sends the invitation,
the IEC.
And then the other ones have got an obligation to attend. But one party cannot tell the other party to go and attend.
Definitely.
But it's only the IEC to say you are invited. So the coordination of the invitations and the coordination of those meetings, then you are saying that the IEC then must facilitate this and improve this attendance. I mean, you may find that no, it's the invites are not given in time and blah blah blah, and then which you can attribute to the secretary and the rest.
Okay.
But I mean, if the political parties have not received invitations, you can't expect them to attend the meeting. I don't know. I'm just raising this particular matter for you to actually evaluate the first statement you made.
Restated it to see if this addresses the issue. The IEC still had issues with facilitating political parties' attendance of the political party liaison committee. So the problem is still with facilitating it. So I've made reference to political parties, but we can't tell the political parties what to do. We can recommend that IEC facilitates better. So I basically said the IEC still had issues with facilitating political parties' attendance of the political party liaison committees.
So this means the problem is not the non-attendance of the political party.
Yeah,
either is the facilitation,
which
is on the side of the IEC.
Yeah, so we're telling the IEC, obviously the political parties still need to come to the table, but we can't tell them what to do. We can tell the IEC to facilitate better. That's
Are we finding that the IEC has got issues with these political party meetings, or are we making a finding that the attendance to these committees is not happening, is poor or whatever? You know, it's like, I mean, all I'm saying is that if there is poor attendance of a particular committee, then that is a fact. And then our recommendation then can identify the critical actor who is, can improve that, and then include in the recommendation.
Let's
hear this. Yes. So you know, our problem is the attendance. The finding we are making is that the attendance to that particular committee is not to the level that we require.
Mm-hmm.
I think that should be the finding.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can only bring the IEC in the in the recommendation if there is any role that it should play.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Does it make sense?
Yeah.
Sir, one last one.
Yeah.
You are a bureaucrat, but you must be assisting us. Okay. And then eight as well. The portfolio committee encouraged the DHA to address the findings made by the Auditor General.
I've got it restated as the portfolio committee noted the DHA still has to address some findings made by the Auditor General in previous years. The collection of revenue emissions abroad was still a major concern. DOCA was not providing all supporting documents to the DHA. That said, we mentioned that not all the audit findings were addressed, but this is the main audit finding that wasn't addressed. And I think what we can perhaps do is make this point go directly after the other one about the AG's audit findings, and then it will, I think, flow better.
I was of the opinion that your next sentence after that was very general.
Mm-hmm.
The collection of revenue in missions abroad was either major challenge. That is a finding on its own.
Yeah, okay. I can take out the first
And you can add the second one that says DELCO was not providing supporting documents to the DA despite the existence like that.
So we can actually take the first sentence.
The last two sentences.
Yeah, but we can take the first sentence out on that one.
Yeah, the first sentence, I'm not sure whether it is.
And we've already mentioned it actually in a previous. I'll take it out.
Remove that one and then leave the last two little sentences. And then 9, the Department of Public Works was not providing adequate support to DHA in acquiring and renovating offices, particularly at border posts. Do we have to narrow it?
Chair, I'm sorry to take you back to 8.
Yes.
I'm not sure which sentences are we moving there.
The first one. That starts with the portfolio committee.
Then we leave the second one.
That starts with the collection.
Yes.
Until to the end.
And then the challenge is full stop.
Until to the end. We keep that. That's what we have actually been told, that DELCO is not actually giving any supporting document to the money that they are transferring to DHA.
Oh, we keep that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm.
Thank you.
Okay, let's get to 9. The Department of Public Works was not providing adequate support to DHA in acquiring and renovating offices, particularly at border posts. This also applies to GPW, who has been delayed for some time in moving to new Kesaka Street facilities, and this would have a negative impact on the rollout of the ID smart card. Myself, I do not have a problem with that, except this thinking that we are making at the end. That is, we should actually be stopping at the Department Street facility and put a full stop there. And that's that little last part. It is what we think is going to happen. And that should actually activate our recommendation. It must talk to the consequence of it. Our recommendation. That is the fact, of course, that the Department of Public Works is not giving the necessary or whatever support to this department in terms of infrastructure. Ten. There were challenges in measuring performance against targets set by DHA. This is fine. The leadership of DHA was not sufficient in the consistent monitoring of performance and ensuring internal control. I have a problem with that now, because the sentence I'm writing. Just expressing a view. Do you have an explanation, or maybe
it's the view, it's
so that you can recraft it somehow?
It's the view expressed by the Auditor General. part of the findings on commitment is that they address issues of leadership. It's something that emerged out of the Auditor General's report as well. That the reason that the non-compliance on performance information was due to lack of leadership. That's mentioned by the Auditor General.
But in our standards, we have to keep it in there.
No.
Because definitely that the measuring of performance, of course, is that there are challenges. That is the one what you are picking up.
We can just say, okay, we can also just say the improvement in leadership in the consistent monitoring of performance and ensuring internal controls. Well, no, that's a recommendation. What's needed, I don't
know. Yeah, but about the recommendation that you must go and put it at the back.
Yeah.
Just remember to take that one to the back and say the recommendation. The first sentence, there were challenges in measuring performance against targets set by the DHA. That's the finding. Then the other one now that talks to the leadership of the DHA was not sufficient in whose view.
Should the sentence not just simply say that if there were targets, some of the targets achieved were not in line with the some of the achievements were not in line with the targets. Because as it says in the report here, in the AD's report. So the targets achieved were not in line with the assessment. It's just a simple straightforward statement that's behind it.
It actually relates to the providing measuring the performance targets and providing
targets.
Or it means they were not doing enough regarding the consistent monitoring of performance.
They were not having clarity whether they are achieving any target. The manner in which they are measuring their performance against that specific target, what is A1. Are we done with that? Samsung?
Probably, yes, sir. about if you say the leadership of the DHA was not consistent in monitoring of performance and ensuring internal audit controls?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Fine.
If this statement came out of the findings by the Auditor General, in order for us to actually get away from the whole thing is to state that the Auditor General stated whatever the situation is, and then it immediately takes us out, because it points at the Auditor General. It's not us saying it.
It's a way out. The way out, but we are dealing with our findings, not somebody else's findings.
Okay.
It's our findings now that we must make the communication.
I'll take up the second sentence and we'll treat it as part of communication.
Yeah. Let's craft the recommendation in a manner that it addresses what we are discussing here, because it would be a consequence, whether intended or unintended, I don't know. Just means that the recommendation actually talks to our fears.
Mm-hmm.
Should we go to number 11? Don't we need to remove the preamble? That particular position has not been filled in a permanent capacity.
Yeah, it's a question of timing, because when they reported it on it in the annual report, they reported it as resolved, but it was only resolved after the annual report was completed. But as far as I understand, is it still in active capacity?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They said they addressed it and they haven't addressed it.
Yeah, that's why I'm agreeing that let's make that finding that that position has not been filled in a permanent capacity. The preamble that we just leave it, doesn't change anything. Just leave it out. don't go to the fact. The position is not filled in a permanent capacity. That's what we have found. There is somebody else there that is roaming around or whatever. Yes, and then.
But there is also a concern about the department stating that they've addressed issues when they haven't. So it's not only about appointing the officials, the fact that they're misrepresenting what's actually happening. I can say this just about the chief executive or internal audit, but are they misrepresenting?
The A is not, it's not embarrassing the department. It's to state the fact. No, they have not done their job in filling the position in the permanent capacity. Unless otherwise you want to recommend the department to be locked up for me to do that. I think the 7-2 as well, the annual report is still finding. 7-3 is still finding, going down. And certain findings now, you can just look where they are appropriate.
So the first one we're finding too, there, because it's outstanding from last
year.
Yes, so you want to add
things. Yes, somewhere else, some other time. Certain findings that you want to make will be on the basis of the annual report itself. It will be on the budget, quarterly reports or APPs that we have gone through. Then you can find the appropriate phases. And then it is 7.4 next door on the agency. So I think you'll find a space somewhere where you fit in your findings. Are we done with 7.1? Okay, let's move to the annual report. Number one, the committee was concerned and disappointed with regression on the audit outcome. I think we need to recap this as a finding. Can you just recap this and shorten, quarter and wonder? That simply says the Department of Home Affairs has regressed. Yes. Has regressed in terms of its audit opinion. That's the fact. They have regressed. That's the finding. Whether the committee is concerned or not concerned or whatever, it's material. The finding is that it has regressed. Remember.
Yes.
And then number two, I'm not sure whether this is a funding. I was just thinking about deleting. What is your view? The committee inquired about the changes in the current particular area. And because of this was a debate or a discussion. Yeah. Just delete two. Okay. And then number three, which will become something else now. There are improvements on the issuing of passports and the smart ID cards to citizens. Just remove the words the committee commented, blah, blah, blah. Then just indicate that there are improvements on the issuing of passports and smart ID cards to citizens. The department was spending approximately 5.5 million on adult basic education, which was the responsibility of the Department of Basic Education. Correct. Yeah. Or spend, yes.
Yeah.
That's why this is the past tense. The department spends approximately da 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 da, which was the responsibility of that. Agreed, Adam.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Number five. Yes. Yeah, we can say which is the responsibility of, because it still remains the responsibility of today. Okay. Number five. It seems that there was no sense of genuine accountability in the department. I that statement no. There were levels of assurances in the department, however it seems that people were not doing their work. This one is just expressing opinion on the work. If there is something to communicate, then there will be a need to redraft it. There's a document. You are not with us. Number five. We're trying to look at number five. If there is anything that you want to communicate, Adam, let's redraft that thing and remove the views and opinions.
Just a quote from the meeting, but that I can.
Okay. Delete it.
Do you imagine? Sorry.
Yes.
I don't think it was quite captured correctly, but the point that was raised there was the issue of consequences for action or consequences for non-performance. Although it's not a finding, so to speak, but an observation, I would say. Now, I'm not sure. I don't want us to lose the essence of it by killing it. But lose it some way.
Yeah. This was the comment that I made. I made from the chair when I actually showed members that the Auditor General table that talks to the third level of assurance, the second level of assurance, and the third level of assurance, and asking the department's internal staff to do what they're supposed to do to make life easier for the second level of assurance, which included internal auditor and the audit committees and other. And the third one was including ourselves at the level of parliament and the auditor general and the rest. Just to indicate that if all of the staff and in the department as the primary level of assurance in terms of senior managers and the rest to do their work and check, and then the next levels, which are actually historical in checking, then will have less work to do. And then the department will attend to issues online at the time of things happening. I think this was just a call, not necessarily a finding. it was a call. So even if we delete it, I don't think that there is a problem. We can raise it in the recommendations, you know, for improvement in terms of accountability and assurance of the activities of the department. Can you do so, Honorable Zain?
Yeah, sure, I'm fine with that. As long as we don't lose the essence of the point you made, that session is actually a combination of two things. The one that you raised at the level of assurance,
yes,
and the point that I raised about consequences for non-performance. I'm not sure, Adam, where it can be included. It's more of an observation than a finding, so to speak.
Yeah, the problem is that we can't talk about consequences, because the department has indicated that 40 people, they are now being fired and all, going disciplinary hearings and all that. That's why I'm saying is that in the recommendation we can request improved levels of or a faster rate of the disciplinary action, faster conclusion of the disciplinary matter. And of course is that we raise this question of assurance, because the fact that the Auditor General could not find sufficient evidence, it's all about assurance of the documentation, safekeeping of documents, all that is not happening. So which means you must actually make a call to that. You must be prepared, Honorable Member. And then on the annual report, we're still continuing until tonight. I thought that I was just about to ask whether you have a point that you, persons who had overstayed their payments through no fault of their own have been declared undesirable persons, banned from entering South Africa in terms of the recently implemented amendments to the Immigration Act. Up to that point, it's fine. But after that, we really need to believe that. Because this is a consequence, and this consequence can't just be said, it is happening across. Can you remove that second sentence, Honorable Member? Are we in agreement? Yes, it's a consequence that may be happening to an individual somewhere, and you can't say that it happens across. But the first one definitely is a fact. That's what is happening. And then if we have a problem with that, then we can raise it somewhere else for it, call the department to either take care of or to be readily available to deal with the unintended consequence of that particular position. Yes, ma'am.
Sir, there are also two persons there. Persons who have overstayed their tenants, blah, blah, blah. Undesirable persons, then. What if you can say under the undesirable and then from entering South Africa?
Yeah.
Okay.
Undesirable. Understand from then after the way that is arrived, then you must put a comma. Or we replace person, that second person with an
N.
With an N.
N.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, I think we are agreeing.
Yes.
We are agreeing, we've got no problem with that.
The and though makes it sound like it's something different, like it's undesirable and bad, whereas an undesirable person, the comma means that the band is defining what undesirable person is. So if you're undesirable, you're bad.
Mm.
Not if you're undesirable and you're bad. That's maybe it's the English number there will make it clear. It's an under desirable and undesirable ban, comma, ban from entering.
Okay. Okay, let's leave that second person. Honorable members, let's leave that. Then let's read it to be undesirable person banned from that. Then it will still retain the meaning. And remove that confusion. That we may be talking two issues in one sentence. Okay, then number seven. The committee expressed a concern.
I'm taking that out.
Okay, how does it read now?
Okay, there was persistent reporting on contingent liability related to unresolved long outstanding legal cases against the department.
Fine.
Mm-hmm. The same thing for the next point.
Agreed.
The report of the Human Rights Commission on the abuse of illegal immigrants at Mandela, etc., etc. Same thing for point 8.
No, let's read to 8 first. Do we have the report of the Human Rights Commission?
Yes.
Have we dealt with it in the committee? No, don't say that it doesn't matter.
Oh, my goodness.
No.
Raised in that meeting, and that you will raise it later.
No. You see, we are saying that there's an abuse of illegal immigrants.
And we've noted a report.
You see. And then we have not dealt with the report, and we have not reached that particular point, the other group said. Yes, we have heard what the human rights is saying about Indiana. And we have not dealt with the report, we still want to have the report. And then now we can't boldly write in the SEs and say on the abuse of illegal immigrants. We are what? Because we still want to have that discussion and take a position whether we agree that there is an abuse or not. But up to now is that we need to indicate that we know the report of the Human Rights Commission on the Mandela repatriation facility. You see. Because if you want to get into the details of that report, which we have not actually talked to, and then we have not been addressed on, and then of course we know that there is a report on the Human Rights Commission on Mandela, and this noting is the one that made us to take a decision that we want to call them to come, and only when they have paid and then we have dealt with it, we can make that determination whether there is an abuse or no abuse. Mm. It will be premature for now for us to take in our report that time.
Sure. I think we're just beginning on the wording here. Yeah. So what is it going to read like? Because
the committee or of course then you can say that there is a report of the Human Rights Commission on the Mandela repatriation facility. There's a report on that. And then, but inside the report, we are hearing they're talking about beating people there, non access to medication and what else. And we have not tested that ourselves as a community. And we still want them to come for us to test that. And when we tested that, we agree with them whether there is an abuse or there's no access to medication. When they have explained to us. At the moment, it's just that we have taken note of the report about what is happening in the Mandela repatriation facility.
So in
our recommendation, we can write that, you know, this committee, of course, we have already taken that recommendation, the last committee meeting. We can reconfirm that if noting of this report, then we are going to meet with them. Or we ask the department to actually talk to the recommendations of that particular report, depending what position we want to take.
Report?
Of the human rights.
So we're given an input, not a report.
Yeah?
We haven't received any report.
I was in
Chairperson, there's a difference between a report and an input. And what you received from the department was just an input. Like, let's suppose somebody talking about a particular area, but not necessarily going on to the report. Yeah. I think it's the wording which we need to change and state that we had an input, not a report. Let's just leave out the message of the report.
So, we know that there is a report.
Yes, yes. You can say that.
Yes, that there is a report on the repatriation facility. We have not yet received the report.
Yeah, but we will take it.
Yes. And I still remember that Honorable Hussein was even intending to sponsor us with a copy of that report.
So, what if we delete it completely and wait for the report before we can make any
report? Anyway, they are coming in terms of the resolution that we have taken.
to address the concerns raised with the committee.
No, no.
And I think the last part, I think,
the last part
needs to be removed. Let's hear what the things are. I'll come to you. Let's first have that sentence and then I'll come back to you.
Okay, so the committee noted the release of the report of the Human Rights Commission on the Mandela repatriation facility.
That's correct, yeah. Okay, let's keep that one. Honorable Gumede and followed by Honorable Kelly.
No, in fact, I do fully agree with the because really the institutions like the Human Rights Commission are institutions supporting democracy. They are not competing with democratic institutions. Because once you start having competition, then that's the structure.
Okay. Thank you.
I worry about the main release. To whom? Because I'm saying the release and not the release to us. We're talking about the input. And now if we say the release and this we have got that score. So to my understanding, if you say use the word release, it means that we know the report. And now we're trying to preempt what is in that report, which you don't even know. So, hey, this is an allegation according to us to get. Because we've got a clear understanding of what happened. Because we've got a special report, it was called discussion. And I said the same sentiment that what I'm using is saying. Because if we say we take this sentence, we are just putting ourselves in a different situation because we don't know the report. It does change because of two and input. So you don't know whether the input is true or false. So really, I have a problem with the name of this. If we are saying that, because that means another thing when you say this, because the name is somewhere else, not to us.
Okay, that's the view. Can I be assisted on the news?
I would like to support Honorable Kenya on that one, sir. On basis that we cannot comment on something that we haven't read yet. We are still waiting for the report to come to us as a committee, so we can't say anything about the report.
Okay, Honorable Member. Okay, can we just do a little move?
No.
Because I understand the Honorable saying that you disagree because you have got passion to the matter. But disagreeing, you are not assisting us because, like as I said, is that when you make a finding, then you must make a recommendation. And we have got a resolution that talks to this committee to meet the Department of Home Affairs together with the Human Rights Commission. I think I've also indicated to our secretary to seek any other NGO that has done some work there as in there. Also to come. And then when we have that particular meeting, that meeting is going to end up with a report with recommendations. It's going to end up with a report and directed recommendations of what has happened. And therefore, at the moment here, we really don't necessarily need to speak to that. Because we are going to have a problem of putting any recommendation. We'll just simply make the finding. Like at the moment, of course, just simply to address what Honorable Kenya said. A release is that's like when the public protector sits in front of media and reads whatever report and then reads that report, but then still has a duty to send it to Parliament to table it. It is two steps. Yes. And then, of course, is that we can't discuss the report which has been released but not submitted to Parliament. We will only wait it until it is tabled in Parliament for a committee of Parliament to discuss it. So just noting that report has been released by the Human Rights Commission, it is not necessarily a problem on its own. But I'm actually trying to persuade the Honorable saying that to say to him that even if you want us just to put that that finding that there is a report that has been released, what sort of recommendation are we going to put to? There is nothing. Yes, there is nothing, there's no recommendation that we can put to it. And then we have actually opened a platform where that report is going to be tabled in front of us, and we discuss it and take resolutions, and those resolutions are going to be ATC as well. Exactly the same as this particular report. You're going to receive the same authority in Parliament. And we'll be tabling the correct report that deals with the content of the report, and then that also contains the recommendations that this committee will be doing. Kirkland, maybe you can assist us. And
Chairperson, yes. I'm a little bit concerned because this is very important. Maybe we should say we note the report of the Human Rights Commission.
If we say that, then we should be having the report in our hands. That's the problem. And then that's why that the latest crafting that talks to the release, noting the release of that report, then it is not dangerous. We can, if we do it, we may not even attach any recommendation to it. And that leave it like that, and to be contained here. But it won't make any impact when you just have that statement sitting there on the findings as is, without us talking to what next must happen. When we are definitely knowing that we are going to have a report that talks to the content and what we want to see happening to the content of the report in the form of the meeting that we're going to have. You see, let's hear the official comment to you on the resolution.
I think there's a way that you can capture this. We can say the committee has been informed of the report of the Human Rights Commission on Lindela, but the committee hasn't yet received it.
Then the recommendation?
No, so there's no recommendation. You have been informed about it. Therefore, there's no need for you to make any recommendation.
Yeah, I think it's your input are seized under normal circumstances. Because remember that the content of all the reports and the presentations that we have received, there is a lot of information that has been made. But because there is nothing that you want action to take to happen, there is nothing wrong or there is nothing that's problematic that you are thinking about. So any information that we don't speak any action to it, we have left them out in the report. Some of them are contained in these other pages at the back. You see, what you are bringing in the findings, it is something that look unusual as far as we are concerned, or we think that that particular situation will create a problem, and then we need to actually put a recommendation of correcting. That is what we bring in the findings. But you know, if the department says it is going to employ 100 people, and it has employed 100 people, we're not going to put it in the findings because there's no problem of employing 100 people. They said they'll employ it. That's why we just leave it alone. But if they say they are going to employ 100 people, and then actually they have employed 20, then we make it as a finding that they have not employed as they planned. Because something now needs to be corrected for them to employ that. Then we put the recommendation followed by the recommendation. We're not just really putting things for the sake of just putting them in the finding. Honorable Hussein.
Chair, you're quite correct that I'm passionate about it. And I think you must equally be passionate about it.
Yeah.
Because it deals with the human rights of the human family. So yes, I'm passionate, and I'm not afraid to say it. All of us need to be passionate about it. The point I want to make is that there was a discussion. There was a decision. Why are we afraid to record it in this document? Now,
Honorable Hussein, please assist us.
I'm trying to assist.
My understanding is
you won't give me a chance to speak. When I speak, then you want to stop me halfway.
No,
and then you want to take everybody else. And so let me finish speaking to you first and addressing you first, and then you can come back. Can I please finish?
You can finish, but you're not repeating what you're saying.
No, you don't know what I'm going to say.
Yeah.
How can you say that?
I
have a suggestion for you. You see, there's already a recommendation here. And on the basis of your argument that we can't include it because we didn't see the report, then why have you included the issue about undesirables? There was never a report in this committee on undesirables. I brought it here. And then you believed it. You said, no, it's true. I never put a document on the table neither did the department. But you've accepted it. So it doesn't mean that you must have a report to accept something in there. It doesn't mean that. Now, I'm satisfied. If you want to remove it from the findings, I've got no problem. Provided it must be in this document that there is a report by the Human Rights Commission, it's even a court order, dealing with a department that's under the control of this portfolio committee. And for us to ignore something as important as that, that even the deputy minister has conceded that there is a problem there, even the DG, and we don't want to accept it and include it in the report. I mean,
yeah. I don't understand.
Record so that, you know, we can quickly just go over it, because it's not like we're taking this report and we're putting it under the table. We're merely stating that because next week, on I think it's at 28th or 29th, that this report will not be tabled because they are not there, and then we can follow it up as soon as possible with the oncoming date. And I think, Chairperson, yes, it is allowed for a minority report to come. I don't think there's a problem with that over what the Honourable Hussein is stating. But the most important thing is that this committee is not saying that report will not be addressed by this committee, because all of us are actually interested in the content of that report. I'm highly interested in it as well. Thank you, Chair.
Yes, that resolution is black and white in our minutes to call the Human Rights Committee. It's black and white. It's a resolution that I can be held accountable if the Human Rights Commission doesn't come and let me deal with Zimbella. So, you see, we don't really have a problem with a minority, whatever view. The only problem is its implication to the unity of committee members. The manner in which the committee seeks to say, let's operate on consensus and blah, blah. Because you see, when we start going in that direction, which is the right of a minority view, we may be taking ourselves in resolving our matters through votes. And something that is not going to assist us, and it is, of course, is the last resort of resolving any impact. But it will be far much better if we try and understand and be persuaded. Because this matter, you see, if this matter were saying that it is not going to have any attention and we are putting under the table, it is not going to be attended, then one would be happy for a minority, whatever, to say, no, we are disagreeing not to attend to this matter. Now we know we have taken a decision that we are going to call them and they are going to deal with that specific matter, not any other matter, that specific report. Then the same member then says, no, I'm recording a minority. Then it sends other messages and to the rest of us, and then which may not be helpful moving forward. For those is the right. And honorable members, I think there are people outside that this particular hall. I'm not sure how we are going to deal with the last part of this for us to be able to complete our mission.
On that, what we have gone through over until 1 o'clock, in the minutes on the decision of the committee, it is scheduled that we will meet with the Human Rights Commission and the department on this issue. And then also on our third term conference, we are going to have an oversight visit. And then the Lela is also included in that.
Let's agree to disagree. I understand that the MP has a different point of view. I respect that. And I'm not going to engage about it. Yeah. I have a completely different view. And I've explained it to you, and I don't want to repeat it again. I said I was willing to make a concession provided you can include it in the recommendations, because it happened at that meeting. But if you don't want to make that concession, then I want the minority view to be recorded in the document.
That's
the
point.
The view that I've taken on the matter must be expressed in this case. And it's unfortunate that you speak on the issue of unity. Okay, I've tried to make a number of concessions as possible, and it was never difficult. This is the one single issue that you know we feel strongly about. If you don't want to make that concession, that's fine. But please, my view must
okay, be... Okay, no, we'll put that specific sentence. I just don't know how it's going to be crafted. All I'm saying is that you wanted to be... The issue on Human Rights Commission's report to be included in the current report.
The fact that the committee
voted and that we are taking the decision to call,
that's all
that. You haven't noticed anything. Okay, no, we'll put that. We'll put that, and it will be... The only thing that I was talking to is that we should not sound as if we have not agreed how we're going to handle this specific matter, because the manner in which you're dealing with this, it looks like as if there is a refusal to deal with that specific matter, and which is not correct. Honorable members, where are we now?
Can I say how it currently stands? All I've said is that the committee has been informed of a report of the Human Rights Commission on Lindela repatriation facility and will address the content in its work going forward.
Okay. But where are you putting it?
Under findings, but not under recommendation.
No. You can't put it under findings because you can't put your recommendation.
You need
to be going to at the back of the report, where you are dealing with matters of deliberations or discussions or whatever it was, the annual report discussion, and put it in there.
Okay.
If you put it on the finding, then you are creating a problem that you can't put the recommendation.
Okay.
Then it's just in court, or it's just court, something. And then put it just in the body of this particular report, where you've got all sorts of discussions and information that has been put to us that doesn't require us to make a recommendation.
Mm-hmm.
You see? I think, you see? But how do you deal with that? Because we need to complete the meeting. Otherwise, then the report cannot be adopted.
Yeah.
Just a second, let me deal with the internal logistics. Honorable members, can we close the door? Can we suggest that the administration find another venue where we can reconvene at 2 o'clock and finish the work so that this report is adopted today, because we may not... What is the delay of adopting the VR report? This week? Huh? Yes. Is there any possibility that you can sit down with us? And then how are we going to communicate? How are we going to communicate that?
SMS.
But all of you, just be ready that we will reconvene at 2 o'clock. And when you see the SMS, then you will be talking to the 2 o'clock. Okay?
There's no plan to be sure.
No, I don't think the problem has been
solved. Oh, okay.
Tomorrow
after
the 2 o'clock.
Medium
10. At 3. We may be finished. As long as Honorable Hussein doesn't delay us. We'll be finished on Okay, the proceeding is suspended for now until 2 o'clock. You have the internet. Yeah, I think the administration will tell us where are we going to have our lunch. They say there is no lunch prepared for us. I'm sorry for the incoming COVID.
I don't like that.
Okay.